Romance Romp is sponsored by Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise with over 2 million books, movies, and music at retail stores in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, and online at wonderbook.com. So today I have Vanessa Vale with me. She is a USA Today best-selling author of over 35 romance books. So thank you for joining me, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So first, I always kind of like to get to know a little bit about like my guest as far as how they started reading romance and how they kind of got into the genre. So if you could tell me a little bit about yourself as a romance reader.
As a romance reader, I started reading romances back in my 20s, more from picking up paperbacks at the library and sitting down and gobbling them up, coming from high school and college where you had to read literature. Finding some books that weren't quite so heavy and cumbersome was really a joy. It was new for me to find something that was instantly appealing, that I could sit down and read from start to finish and get absorbed into a book. It turned me into a reader.
So just a reader overall or just a romance reader?
Well, it turned me into a reader overall because I avoided books for enjoyment because I was overwhelmed with, let's say, less appealing choices that English classes were required.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. And it, like 10 years ago, I was like, I'm going to read all these books that like everybody says that you should read. And like Oprah had like a list of, I don't know, classics, if you will, or whatever. And I made it through like half of one. And I'm like, this isn't me. This isn't for me. They're great books, but it just wasn't, I didn't get like that emotional satisfaction that I do like from romance. And it just felt like heavy and, you know, and that's great. I applaud anybody who's reading any type of book, you know, but those books just aren't for me.
I tell my kids that it's important to find a book that sets their imagination wild, lets them go to a place different than where they are. It's like turning on the TV set without actually turning it on. And so it doesn't matter what someone enjoys as long as they are enjoying it. And once you get the book bub, you don't want to stop.
Sure, absolutely. So for you, what is it that you that really drew you into romance? Like, what do you like about reading it?
I enjoy it being positive, or I guess pretty much the happily ever afters at the end, because so much today is difficult and hard. And many, many books out there show those difficulties wonderfully. But for me, just like movies, I have so much going on in my life that when I sit down, I want to escape to something positive. While there's obviously the usual tension and conflicts in romance books, but knowing that it's going to be worked out in the end always makes me feel good as I'm reading them, so that I know that from start to finish, it's going to be a great read.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that that's the common thread that, I mean, everybody reads romance for their own specific, you know, for their own reasons. But I think a lot of us come back to because of our own personal lives and just the world today and everything. You know, there's a lot of heaviness happening. And to know that you can spend a couple of hours reading about, you know, a couple of people that fall in love and, you know, at the end of it, it's going to be happy. Like, they're going to go through some things through in there, and it's not going to be all sunshines and, you know, sunshine and rainbow, but at the end you'll know like they're going to be together and they're going to be happy in however that factors. So I think, you know, that's a pretty common thread between all of us as romance readers. Are there any like particular genres that you really enjoy versus ones that maybe just don't work as well for you?
You know, I think that question changes year by year, perhaps. If you asked me 10 years ago, I probably would have said a really great historical pirate romance. That would have, you know, melted my butter back then. Now I really enjoy fighter romance, MMA fighters or contemporary heroes who maybe I should answer more along the lines, what kind of hero do I like? I like a dominant hero, mm-hmm. with who's very possessive, okay. who will do anything to fight for his woman. That could be under, like I said, under the MMA category. That's mm-hmm. that sort of works for me right now. I write about cowboys, so I can always say cowboys are great as well. But I really read all kinds of romances. I don't stick to one thing specifically. I'll go to historical. I'll go really steamy. I'll go sweet. I'll do them all.
Okay. That makes sense. For myself as a reader, just, saying until like this year, I was really only like a contemporary, like I only read within contemporary. I'm like, I don't want to read historical. I don't know why. I had no real reason for it. But I've started to read more historical, and it's nice to have different genres to pull from. Like, maybe I get kind of tired of reading contemporary, so historical kind of changes that up. But you're right, it's very, it kind of changes all the time, and just depending on what books are out and what's available and trying to find
and my
new
mood.
Authors. Exactly, and your mood. And it's like, I enjoy a good dominant hero, but sometimes I've had enough and I need, something a little bit more beta-y or, just not. So, yeah, it really just depends.
When I switch it up, I like to go to romantic suspense.
Okay.
I really enjoy a good romantic suspense book, but sometimes they get a little scary, kind of like you need to put it in the freezer.
Right.
I was talking with someone last week about a good romantic suspense series that takes place in Maine. And I told her that I am not very eager to go to Maine now. So everyone who's in Maine, I will come eventually. I just have to remember that the author was so good in her work that mm-hmm. she made it kind of creepy. So she did a really good job with it. So toggling off of a Regency romance to go into romantic suspense is mm-hmm. a great way for me, as an example, to mix it up.
Sure. What is it that you like about romantic suspense?
Oh, well, I guess it could be everything from the damsel in distress to mm-hmm. the strong hero. But I also think that the plot line is great because there really is a bad guy. Mm-hmm. There is an external conflict of some outside force that is impacting them. It's not two different personalities that are clashing or their jobs that are clashing. It is something that they have to work together and fight. So most times, and I'm generalizing here, most times, usually the hero and the heroine are working together to solve the problem. So I like to see that they are already a team, that they're and they are struggling to get the bad guy pretty mm-hmm. much and stay safe. So that just appeals to me.
Sure. That's great to know because I don't read a ton of romantic suspense. I usually struggle with it. I think early on I read some really poor examples of romantic suspense and it kind of, put me off on all of them. But I always kind of like to hear what other people get out of a genre that I don't typically read, because you're obviously seeing it from a different perspective than me. And it helps me to think like, oh, yeah, that's true. In romantic suspense, you really see the conflict. Like there's a legitimate bad guy, like you said. And so it forces them to work together for that versus that, in contemporary where it's usually like a more internal conflict and sometimes, is less believable, but that's just me. But so I always appreciate, hearing from other people, what they're into, and it helps me see it a different way. But are there any like particular tropes that you really like or ones that you're like, oh no, that one never works for me?
Oh, I think we could all come up with a really long list of tropes uh-huh. that go on forever and ever. This is a tough one because it depends on the moment. I think I am not a fan of fairy tales.
Okay.
There are a number of really great books out there that use the theme of fairy tales as the underlying plot concept. And for me, for some reason, I don't see, they do such a good job of it that I don't see the underlying plot, like a Cinderella or or a Little Red Riding Hood concept. And I don't see them, or I really, really do. And I have a tough time separating children's fairy tale concepts from romance. Sure. So that would be the trickiest one. My favorite, of course, is cowboys.
Okay.
Because I write about cowboys. So that would be my favorite.
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. I always see this. I'm fairly active on Twitter. And one of my first ones that I always say is, I love a really good marriage of convenience trope.
Right. There's always the secret baby is always appealing too. Mm-hmm. I think I'm always cautious of ones where the heroine is less than smart, for lack of a better term. I like a strong heroine, a smart heroine. Mm-hmm. While she might come into some problems, have some conflict, and need some outside help from a hero, for example, I want to make sure that she is believable and isn't a dingbat. I don't like dingbat heroines.
I don't know many people that do. And, there's that acronym, the TSTL, so Too Stupid to Live. And that one, nothing will make me quit reading a book faster than having the heroine who's too stupid to live. And I know a lot of times as readers, like, we're super harsh on the heroines. But still, like, there's just some things that it's like, yeah, that just doesn't work for me at all. Like, I need her to, I mean, we all make mistakes in real life, but, you know, even, but to have the heroine just be completely a pushover or just, you know, not aware, that's like a hard line for me.
Well, the virgin trope is used, obviously, quite frequently these days. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy a good virgin romance. Mm-hmm. However, I like the virgin who has made a choice to remain a virgin, and not because she isn't quite with the program. I think that having a strong heroine who's made good choices in her life and is waiting for the right guy is a great basis for a story. And that version of the virgin trope is something I do enjoy.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a trope that I enjoy, whether I also am drawn to it. If it's the hero that has made that choice to be a virgin, you don't see that as much, but I am seeing it more. But yeah, if they've made a conscious decision for whatever reason and not just because I don't know really how to explain it. But yeah, that's a good one, too. So you've been reading romance for a little while. Have you experienced any sort of, like, I call it kind of like romance reader shame? Like, I think sometimes people are kind of down on it a little bit, but I think we're doing better. More awareness has really kind of taken that away. But does anything for you kind of stick out, or?
As a reader, no. It's pretty easy these days with an e-reader if you are concerned about sharing what you're reading to hide it. I travel a lot by plane, and so I read romance on my flights. I would not be bothered to have a paperback book with a bodice ripper cover on it, no problem. I think what there is shame is being a romance writer. When I tell people what I do, people get stalled on the word romance. They skip the fact that I'm a writer or that I've just put out my 40th book. They don't see any of the successes behind it. Or they just get stuck on romance and they're like, oh, you write those books with, you know, a finger up by their mouth. And they make it out to be a simple thing to do, or a book with a dim-witted heroine and a lusty hero who wants to rule over her, and that's the end of it. As everyone from readers to writers in the industry know, there's so much more to it than that. And so I think that, to answer your question, I have definitely come across that when speaking about my profession.
No, I totally understand that, and it can be a little challenging at times, but also, like, I try, you know, many years ago, I didn't tell people I was a romance reader. But, you know, within the last few years, I tell everybody that I'm a romance reader. And I'm not ashamed of it at all. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And, you know, I feel like I'm trying in my little tiny bit to kind of erase that shame and, you know, help awareness so that people that don't understand the genre, that they can understand like how successful that is. I mean, you've written 40 books. That's amazing, right? Like anybody else, any other genre, we applaud them for that. And, you know, we do within this genre, but outside of it, people just don't understand. And that's okay. Like, I don't always understand anything about like comics, for example. But it's just not my thing. So, but yeah, it can be a struggle.
With the publishing of E.L. James's 50 Shades of Grey books, I think that romance has been able to leap into the mainstream a little bit more. There are the diehard haters, for example, but those people who were on the fence about it really were swayed because it was almost okay now. It's almost okay now to have more romance out there. They aren't just bodice rippers anymore.
Right.
The contemporary books have come more to light and they are more mainstream. Mm-hmm. I think while there are many people who hide it somewhat, probably most romance readers have read those books and it was a gateway for many, many people to be able to be okay with having a romance book out there and in their hands and sharing it. I think there's nothing wrong with reading any kind of book that you enjoy. I have teenage kids and boys, and getting them to read is difficult. Finding something for them to enjoy is also difficult. But when they do find something that puts their butts in a chair or they read it while they're in the car, I want to get more of that for them. And if it's about space or about sports or about lawyers, it doesn't make a bit of difference to me because I want them to appreciate the joy of reading a book that I have, no matter what the subject.
No, I understand wholeheartedly. All right, so we're going to take a quick break to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, I'll be talking to Vanessa more about her experiences as an author and how she transitioned to an author. So we'll be right back. Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com, and for the month of November, get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in-store or online with the promo code ROMROMP. That's R-O-M-R-O-M-P. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. All right, so can you tell me how you transitioned from a reader to an author and kind of like what was your thought process, like why did you say I want to write romance as opposed to just reading it?
This is actually probably a different story than you'll get from other people. About 15-16 years ago, I was working in an office and a co-worker and I were talking about romance books. I don't remember the topic basically, but we said, how hard can it be to write a romance book? And so we dared each other to write one.
Okay.
And I sort of grasped things wholeheartedly and I went to the local Colorado Romance Writers chapter to find a place where I could learn more about writing it. My background is not in writing. I went to art school for graphic design. And so, switching, you know, doing a writing project was completely 180 degrees different than what I'd ever done. My English teachers in high school would probably agree. And so I went and visited the local romance writers group, and within 5 minutes, I was lumped into a critique group of six women I had never met before, never seen before, completely different walks of life. And the woman said, you guys are now a critique group. go. I was shocked and stunned. It was a little bit more than I wanted to take on. I just wanted to learn some tips and tricks on how to write a romance novel, and I was lumped into this critique group. I'm also a horrible introvert and shy, so to say that they made me a little bit nervous was an understatement. However, they are very nice people, and we met every 2 weeks in one night a week, one evening, and this was back in the days where you had a query letter and you had paper, and so we each shared a chapter of our books and read them and critiqued them together. We did that for a couple of years, and then we actually disbanded for a while. I moved to Montana for 5 years, where I gathered all my cowboy information for my future books, and then returned back to Colorado after that. To make a long story short, since we only have so much time on this radio call, we all got back together during the time where Amazon and self-publishing took over. So we all began to start self-publishing.
Okay.
I at first wrote a romantic comedy series under a different pen name, and then went into decided to go a little bit steamier and took on the trope of cowboys based off of my time in Montana. So back to the original thing about doing a dare, the guy never actually wrote the book, and I've actually continued on to write 40 of them and have switched careers and have become a full-time writer.
Well, that's awesome. Good for you. So obviously you must enjoy it.
I do. I think that it's important, obviously, for anyone in any job to find something that they enjoy. And as a romance writer, I had to pick a subgenre that I enjoyed. And I picked originally historical Western romance. And then I moved into historical Western menage. And this year I've transitioned into contemporary. However, a cowboy is a cowboy no matter what decade or century.
Yeah, so you mentioned that, and when I was looking at your books, you have a lot of menage books. Would you label yourself as like erotic romance, or is it just you're more on the steamier side of romance?
I think that answer is in the opinion of the reader. Okay. We have such a strong scale from sweet to, you know, scorching hot. And I think each person's variation of that changes, just like when you go out and get spicy Indian food. Mild is mild for some people and burning hot for others. I do have menage, and I do write menage, and most people consider menage as in general to be erotic. So on the heat scale, it's a 10. there are two cowboys, and the heroine makes very good use of both of them.
As she should. Good for her. So that's an interesting trope, and sometimes, you know, it can be a little polarizing too. But it's not a trope that I'm drawn to a lot, but one of my friends, she loves it. Like, that is her go-to. I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. And like I said, like, you know, one of the things that I like a lot about romance is there's so many different genres and different subgenres. And, you know, you can get pretty much anything you're looking for. You mentioned about cowboys in Montana. So recently I was on a trip out west. We drove through Montana, and one of the things that I kept thinking about in my mind was like, oh, this is how all the cowboys in my romance novels live. This I can like imagine them now. So
it's a beautiful place. I chose Montana specifically to set my books because of that. A side note, as an author, I feel it's important to brand myself into a specific subgenre, thus the cowboy romance and or historical / menage romance. But I chose Montana because I loved it there. It's a great place to share for those people who live somewhere else in the country or somewhere else in the world. I think enough movies and other media have shared the Wild Wild West, so people have an idea of what it's like. And bringing it to life even in a book, especially with two heroes, is a great addition. I think it's a bigger leap. It's a big leap. Opposite of that. It's not a big leap for people to imagine the Wild Wild West, no matter where they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you're self-published, or you're mostly self-published, or have you had any traditional published, or?
My first 9 books were published with a small press, and after that, the rest of them are self-published books.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that, e-publishing has really changed, like, self-publishing, and, like, the, obviously, for many different reasons, and the perception of it, like, you know, several years ago, I think a lot of people were like, even somebody here was like, oh, do they self-publish? And I'm like, no, self-publishing is, like, it's very different than it once was, and it's not, like, vanity press publishing. Like, there are traditionally published authors now that are self-publishing because you have a lot more creative control over it, which I think is awesome.
Right. It's also a very opinionated conversation. And while I won't delve into details about it, I think we can say that self-publishing allows an author to write what they want, whether it's a heat scale or a specific topic. Maybe it's taboo or it's too scary or whatever. And they can really write to it versus what writing to a specific publishing house's requirements. What that can do is provide something different to a reader that they might not have been allowed to have before. And I think that readers are gobbling that up, the broader ability to read something different. And I think that really started with E.L. James's 50 Shades of Grey series. You don't have to like the books, but you have to admit that those books really were the gateway into other authors broadening their horizons, the horizons of their subject matter in their books, their plots, and even the heat scale. So many different things. So I think as readers, there's so much more out there to choose from.
Oh, yeah. I'm so appreciative of it. And I think that's how I found some of my favorite authors now, is because they started self-publishing, and maybe the topics are slightly different, or just the format's different, or they're pushing the boundaries a little bit. And I don't know that I would have found them, like, they wouldn't have been picked up by traditional publishers with those. And so I'm a huge fan of self-publishing. But all right. So your most recent release, Kiss Me Crazy, was released on October 23rd, and it's number 6 in your Bridgewater County book series. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I have to backtrack, though, on it to my previous series, which is the Bridgewater Menage series.
Okay.
That is a historical Western series that started off the whole Bridgewater theme.
Okay.
So there's 9 books in that series, all historical. And then after I wanted to take a break from those books, I decided to do a contemporary version, taking the same Bridgewater town from the 1880s and making it contemporary. So it has the same basis of the acceptance of having two or more men having one wife. So that's the basis for the town, and the contemporary series models off of the historical. This book, Kiss Me Crazy, is book 6. And the one hero in the book actually has the same name as a hero from one of the historical books, and making him be a direct descendant of one of the historical characters.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. That's always a nice tie-in. I know a lot of readers really enjoy the whole series aspect, and it's like, obviously you're drawn to an author, and so you get like that comfort level, but then the series, it kind of all ties it together. So that's always really nice. And you said there were 9 books in the previous series, but that was historical and this one's contemporary?
That's correct.
Okay.
And while these books are in series or 2 series, they are standalone books. So there isn't an overarching theme that you have to read all of them for to find out what happens. There are some overlapping and revisiting of previous characters in future books. However, they are all standalone reads.
Okay, that's always good because, you know, there's nothing as frustrating as a reader is finding like a new series. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to read that series, but there's like 16 of them. And I'm like, right. I don't have time to go backwards and read 15 more books so I can understand what's happening in the 16th one. But it's nice to be able to know that like I can kind of jump in or pick up the ones that that really call to me or not. So
yes, with this one, you can definitely jump right on in. My books all have the concept or theme of menage on the cover. Mm-hmm. So there really isn't any doubt what you're getting into when you read these books.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have trouble writing like the two heroes? Are they always like both really dominant or one's a little less dominant? And do you ever struggle with that?
Yes, having two heroes is tough because you actually, you know, you have a third main character in your mm-hmm. book instead of usually just two. One thing I find I have to do is make, and this is not that deep, but I have to make one blonde and one dark haired, one with a beard or one without, okay. one stocky and one a thin runner's build. I have to make them, in my mind, completely opposite so that I can keep them straight. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, since I write steamy books, the steamier scenes, there's a lot of hands and mouths and so it's very important that me, as well as the reader, don't get confused on who is who.
Sure.
As for personalities, I always want to make sure that the heroes are dominant because that's what I like. They're very possessive and protective, and both characters are that way. However, their professions and or their conflicts always vary. I have to think back to give a book example. So in Kiss Me Crazy, the heroes are both veterinarians. However, they've had their eyes on the heroine for a number of years. One is a little bit more dominant, but a little bit more abrupt in getting her to try to stay in town. She's a travel journalist and refuses to remain in town based off of her family's background. So he's a little bit heavier handed in getting her to stay. The other one is more lighthearted. That tug and pull of coaxing and nudging is the basis for those two heroes in this book.
Okay. So I just thought of this question. So with your menages, do you typically, is there any sort of between the two heroes, are they ever involved in a relationship themselves, or is it always a three-person type of relationship?
That is a good question because there are a variety of different ways to do a menage. For me, I do male-female-male menage where okay. There is no relationship, at least intimately, between the two heroes. The intimate relations is solely between the heroes and the heroine. Okay. So while the books are all, I don't have a trope of stepbrothers or brothers. All of the heroes are not related. They're friends who mm-hmm. have chosen in the Bridgewater series to have chosen the lifestyle of Bridgewater itself where they can claim a woman together.
Okay.
So they are friendly with each other. However, there is no intimate relations between them.
So if the town is set up like that, I guess it also kind of reduces that conflict of like, what are other people going to think? So that's interesting.
Well, in the historical series, the heroes are all the ones from the Bridgewater area. Most of them are specifically from a regiment of British soldiers who were stationed in a made-up country in the Middle East that used the multi-husband custom. That okay. was the basis for that, the start of it. And so all of the heroines were surprised by the two-man concept. In the contemporary books, the town itself has been based for over 100 years on the theme of menage. Therefore, people who live in the town are used to it. Out of the six books, I believe half of them are familiar with the ways of the community and half are new to town and are surprised by it.
Okay. Okay. So it gives it some conflict for some of them, but not all of them. And it's not like an overwhelming concern, it would sound like.
Right. Well, in romance, in cowboy romance and in menage, it is sometimes very difficult to not be repetitive. And I do not like to have the heroine, like I said, be out of it or a dimwit because I don't like those kinds of books. However, it does get hard to say, what do you mean you are both into me? Mm-hmm. And coming up with the ways to make a variation of the same thing of a female being surprised that two men want her at the same time. So I want to make sure that there's the line between her being seen as silly and being seen as making consenting choices to be with two men is clearly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, for me as a reader, I think that's really important. I read a menage book. And the whole way through, pretty much until the end, the heroine, she couldn't stand by her choices. She was still like, I don't know. I feel like this is not the right thing to do. And I'm like, if you're going to commit to it, you need to commit to it. Like, just if that's what you want, do it. So, yeah, I get that. Like,
right. Readers, I believe, including myself, are pickup romances, especially something where like menage, where they want a fantasy. I'm not talking about fantasy genre. I'm talking about a fantasy. Mm-hmm. They want make-believe. They want something bigger and better and different than their life. Having two men dote on you and be intimate with you and know exactly how to push every one of your buttons is a fantasy. Mm-hmm. And having a second cowboy in the bedroom is a great way to fulfill that. And so I write fantasy. I make it bigger and greater and more than probably everybody in real life. There might be some people out there, some women out there, you know, kudos to you. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that it truly is a fantasy. It's something that is a break from the normal reality. And that if two gentlemen are the way to do it, that's great. But I think the heroine in the book needs to embrace it. Mm-hmm. We want a strong heroine that we all want to be and can relate to. And if she's going to choose two men, then she's going to choose two men and run with it, just because we are in the eyes of the heroine and we want that. We don't want a wishy-washy woman.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. Not at all. So this one came out on October 23rd. When is your next book coming out? Is it part of the series? Is it something different?
That is a good question. I write a book a month. Okay. And so you would think that since the book came out on October 23rd, I would know what's coming out next. but my next venture is actually a co-writing contemporary book. Okay. I am, after speaking about cowboys all this time with you, I am going to dabble in contemporary, not cowboy, menage with someone else. So when you go to the bookstores at any time in the future and you see a not contemporary cowboy, you'll know this is the book.
Okay. So will you be using your name and the other author's name as co-writers?
Yes.
Or are you doing a pen? Okay.
So the cover will have both our names on it.
Okay. So we will look for that in the future, and I'm sure you'll have information on your website and social media about that. So that we will look for that. Now, are you attending any sort of conventions this year, or like book cons or book signings, or do you do that?
Right. I just came from an industry conference in Florida. However, there weren't any readers there. Mm. This year in July, RWA, Romance Writers of America's big conference, annual conference, is going to be in Denver. And so since I live in the area, it's going to be in my backyard. So I definitely will be at RWA. But that is my only planned conference for 2018.
Okay. I know you had mentioned that you're an introvert. And I'm also an introvert, and I always like to think that I'm going to go to these book signings and book events, but they always feel too overwhelming for me.
They are overwhelming, but I am, I find that I put on a Miss America smile, and I put on my red shoes. I have special red shoes that I wear to most cons, where I know it's my go moment, my go time. I'm no longer in my pajamas at my desk writing, and I love to meet with fans and new people when I'm at these signings because they're there to meet me and all their other favorite authors that are there. So I am on, but then again, at the end of the night, I close the hotel room door behind me and I lay on the bed and stare at the ceiling for about 2 hours.
That's awesome. I think that's pretty a common theme through some other authors that I've talked to. They're like, yeah, I turn myself on. I have that on persona, I should say, and do that and then go back and like hide out in the room until I have to leave or do it again or whatever. So
it's not that I don't like readers by any means, but it is overwhelming when there's several thousand people at these events. There, that's a lot. It's like a wedding times... Well, that's a big wedding.
Yeah. I've been to some book signings and stuff, and it's only like a couple of hundred people. And even that is overwhelming. Even just to be as part of like the audience and trying to talk to the authors, like it's like, oh my goodness. yeah. So that's awesome. But okay. So I will link to your current release, the one Kiss Me Crazy. And we will have that. But I think that was really all I had for you today, Vanessa. I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.